Welcome to a special Irma edition of the movie show. I'm Monkeys Fighting Robots. I'm Matt Sardo, the host of this show, and I live in Florida. And we have three other writers for Monkeys Fighting Robots that live in Florida as well. Some that had the eye of the storm go directly over their house, and some people that live in Miami, and some people live in the Bay Area. And what I wanted to do this week, since the movie screenings got canceled, is I wanted to talk to each one of these reporters and just get the gist of what was going on for the past week in their area. And because this was something historic, you know, and that I wanted to catalog and have reference to and go back to. And that's what I want to do. This is kind of an unedited show where I just call people up and we talk to them about their experience with Hurricane Irma. On the line, we have comic book reporter, columnist, reviewer Manny Gomez. And you live where in Florida, my friend?
I'm in Cape Coral, which is just across the river from Fort Myers. So basically, that little southwest tip of Florida sort of sticks out like a tiny little finger. That's where I live.
And the storm, Hurricane Irma, made landfall just south of you.
It did, yeah, it did. I mean, it was originally projected to make landfall right on top of me, and the eye did go over us, but the initial landfall was maybe, I don't know, 100 miles south of here, which, you know, considering how big the storm was, really wasn't that much of a stretch.
So the eye of the storm went over your house.
Yeah, at that point I had lost, you know, power and all that. I mean, all I had was the Doppler radar app on my phone and the radio station, which was actually sort of going zone by zone, telling everybody when the heavy part of the storm was going to be reaching you. And so I was pretty much almost able to pinpoint to like the minute when it was going to happen. And I mean, it was crazy because, as they said, all right, well, you know, folks in like southeast Cape Coral, which is where I live now, you're going to start feeling it now. And at that point, like, I mean, from one second to the next, the wind just kicked in. I mean, it sounded like a freight train was going by on the outside of my house, you know, like it's you hear this weird whistling and then you hear like just rushing wind and like, you know, your house vibrates.
And so let's start this back like a week. You know, it's taken me almost a week just to get back to work. And I wasn't super affected by the storm, but just from evacuations and bringing people back and getting things together, This thing was just crazy. And we saw this thing leading up and we were like, oh, it's going east, we're gonna be fine, everything's fine. And then Thursday it started tracking a little west and we're like, fuck, what? So what was on with you?
Well, I mean, I started paying attention to it probably let's see, a week from this past Monday. So, you know, basically like right around the time you were just talking about where they were, you know, a little bit unsure. I mean, the projections always brought it to Florida or close enough that I figured, you know, being a lifelong Floridian, I know how hurricanes can affect the area. So I'm like, I better pay attention to this. You know, I mean, you know, I got young nephews, you know, I got my mom, I got to take care of, I got my job where, you know, I have responsibilities. So like, I got to be ready to react in case I need to do anything. So I kept my eye on it. But what made this storm so unique for me was how slow it was moving, how long it lasted. And it's like, I don't ever remember dealing with a hurricane for as long as I had, or I think anybody has with this one. I mean, we're really going almost on 2 weeks now, if you include like that dread that was building towards the storm hitting and now the aftermath. I mean, honestly, you know, obviously hurricanes will impact a community for years, but I'm talking about like the initial impact, like the buildup, the impact and the post impact, which, you know, usually only lasts about a week and then everyone kind of gets back to normal somewhat. Wasn't like that with this. And that buildup was like nothing I'd ever seen before.
No, this was insane. I mean, I have a daughter, I have a wife, you know, I have three pets. And this is the most emotionally drained I've been in a very long time, because you're dealing with everybody's stress. Like, my in-laws, they're like, we're not leaving. And I was like, there's a Category 3 hurricane coming right to your fucking house. I was like, you can come with us. And they're like, no, we're going to stick it out. And it's, I know in your situation, there was no really safe place to go. And
no. Yeah.
I mean, we didn't leave until the 11th hour. Sunday morning, we're like, okay, I looked at the storm. It wasn't going to go up the East Coast. So I was like, okay, we can head east and go up that way. And we drove 10 hours to get to a safe place. And that town even got hit with a tropical storm. And I saw giant trees fall down in this dude's backyard. And I was like, you got to be shitting me. I just drove 10 hours away and shit is still falling down. So building up to the storm, Thursday is when we really kind of knew that the shit was going to hit the Thursday is when we kind of knew that the shit was going to hit the fan on the West Coast. So what were your kind of preparations and stuff?
Well, at that point I was still, working at the hobby shop, that I worked at. I mean, we were still open, although we were monitoring everything and we knew that we were going to have to close and prepare that fast. I had already done, all the preparation I could at home. I made sure, I have two bedrooms in my condo, and the bedroom windows are actually impact windows, but the ones in the living room are not. So I made sure to, board up those living room windows as best I could. I had sandbags because, they were freaking us all the fuck out with the storm surge, which was a high probability. I had supplies. Like, luckily I found two big cases of water that I had. I had a bunch of non-perishables. I had my dog's meds. I had my mom's meds ready to go. I put gas in my car. I mean, all the sort of preparations that you can do, but everybody doing them at the same time, it just created this very eerie atmosphere for those 2 days. No matter where you went, you had bare shells. You had everybody talking about the storm. I mean, I have memories of Hurricane Andrew. I was in high school when that happened, but this seemed like, you mentioned you were emotionally drained. Everyone seemed much, much more emotionally heightened for this storm. And I think maybe it's because it was so long in the building. People were probably going through multiple bouts of anxiety. I don't know. It didn't feel like that. This felt very unique to me. Like, this storm felt very unique.
No, the gas shortage, the food shortage. I was like, this is the closest I'm ever going to get to The Walking Dead, I hope. I'm hoping this is as close as I ever get.
That's funny you mentioned that because, the night before everything, started shutting down, I had a buddy come over to help me board out my windows. And after we were done, we were sitting outside, having a beer. And that's exactly, you nailed it, because we were, talking about, he's like, this is what it must feel like in Walking Dead when everything started happening. Not in the middle, not in season 7 when they're already fighting Negan. This is like the very first sort of moment where, you realize, oh shit, there is something that we can't control coming, and all we can do is react to it.
Yeah, this was season 1 of The Walking Dead. This was definitely season 1 of The Walking Dead.
Yeah, this is the first act of, it felt like the first act of every apocalyptic, end of the world movie you can imagine, like Armageddon or Deep Impact or any of those, And really, those are the ones that always kind of draw you in, those moments. And that's exactly what it felt like. I mean, I use pop culture as a reference for everything, obviously. And that's exactly what we were talking about.
And for us in Tampa, St. Pete area, the storm was going to hit us at 2 a.m. in the morning on Monday. You got what time did you get the storm on Sunday?
I would say it was probably around 9 o'clock that we must have felt the worst of it, because I know that by 11 p.m. it was still windy, but I still felt like I needed to go outside and check out what happened, and I did. I mean, maybe it was a tad bit unsafe, but the wind had died down significantly by then, so I wanted to check on my car. I mean, I have some power poles out front of my condo. I didn't want anything to fall anywhere. I wanted to see. I had a couple of neighbors that had stayed behind too. I wanted to check on them, because another thing that happened in my building is the fire alarm went off in the middle of the storm, and the fire alarm here has been prone to do that, when it gets a short or whatever. But in my anxiety, paranoid mind at that moment, I'm like, oh, fuck, what if there's also a fire? I mean, I don't know if another person in one of the other units was using candles or whatever. Something fell over. The wind blew somebody's window open and knocked off. And then I'm like, do I have to deal with a fire? So, I also went out to inspect that, because the alarm was going off and for a while. Until it finally died out, and that just gave me an extra level of anxiety for like a good hour, that like literally had me pacing around, and like, I'm like, should I just go out there in the middle of the freaking night and make sure that like half the building isn't on fire, and then, you know, I'm going to, you know, burn here? Because, I mean, at that point, you can't even rely on emergency services. You know, you're on your own. It's, talk about Walking Dead situation. You are on your fucking own at that moment.
Yeah, I mean, that's a horror movie in itself. Like, what do? Do I go outside in the hurricane, or do I wait for the fire to consume me? Oh, my God.
I literally was feeling walls for heat, Matt. Like, I kept telling myself, well, there was a fire two apartments down. It would probably be reaching the one next to me now, and I don't feel any heat. You know, I'm like, I don't smell anything. I don't, you know, like, I was going through all these things in my head, and then finally the alarm stopped, and then after a while, my mind got preoccupied with just making sure the water coming in under my door wasn't going to reach anything beyond, like, you know, a few feet. So I actually kind of even forgot about the alarm almost until I brought it up right now, actually.
Oh, man. Let's talk about the non-important things. Where did you hide your comics?
I actually put some of the more valuable ones in the dishwasher, in some waterproof bags, and everything else that is not of, you know, as big financial value, but more like, you know, emotional value, I put in the top area of my closet, which, you know, is in a room with a hurricane window and is well away from like any sort of like other part of the house that could be blown open. So, and, you know, everything else I just sort of like collected in a big bin, and I packed my backpack with things that I knew that I would immediately want to take with me if I had to run, like my computer and my tablet, you know, and those kind of things. So I actually had like, oh shit, we got to go kit ready to go.
Oh man. I went through that too. I basically woke up Sunday morning and I looked at the storm and it had the dot going over our house. And I saw that, I saw that Athens was free. I saw that 75 was clear. And I looked for gas stations ahead that had gas on the Gas Buddy app. And so I saw a few places that had gas. So I was like, okay, we can go. And so then I started throwing my stuff together. And I was like, laptop I can take. And then I was like, I have my phone. And I was like, if I have my phone and my laptop, I guess I can leave my camera. You know, like, it's unimportant. But I like went through, I was like, yeah. And I you know, all my comic books are up on a super high shelf in my garage. And so I knew that those wouldn't have gotten wet from the storm surge. My house isn't in a place where water was an issue. I was worried basically about another house crashing into my house. Like, that was my big concern with the winds, so, yeah, being like somebody's roof getting taken off and going into that. Okay, so did you feel a huge difference when the eye of the storm went over your house? Like, 'cause you mentioned like when the storm hit you, you felt the winds kick up, but did you feel the winds die down and then kick up again as the eye went over?
It was very weird. Like, it almost felt like, I know the wind changes direction right after the eye, but for me, it felt like the wind almost pulled back and then almost like a slingshot, right? Or somebody pulling back, like imagine if you're a boxer and somebody's throwing jabs and then they pull back one big punch and throw like the biggest, like, you know, right hook you've ever seen. That's what it felt like.
That's crazy. That is crazy. You know, if the eye of the storm went over your house, that was your one chance to run around naked in an eye of a storm. I mean, you missed.
Yeah,
that.
I know. I know. I remember from Hurricane Andrew, which was similar to me. Like, I remember when the eye went over, and I do remember going out, and that hurricane, if I remember, was passed over us more towards maybe the daytime. I don't know. I just remember being able to see the sky, and then all of a sudden you're like, but wait a minute, the rest of it is coming now. You know, it's so bizarre. And on the radio, they actually had some guy on Marco Island that walked out into the eye of the storm, and he was sort of live broadcasting from it too, which was kind of fascinating to hear because it is calm. And what's weird is the day after a hurricane, you have like the most gorgeous weather you've ever seen.
Yeah, it was cool. It was calm. Yeah. It was super nice. And so after the storm, let's talk about after the storm. The storm passes, and you said you went out at like 11 o'clock at night. Like, what was the emotion going on with you after you survived the storm?
Well, I was like running high on adrenaline, and I was like, once the radio broadcast was saying that the storm surge was not going to be as big an issue as they originally forecasted it to be, because even in my area, which I'm not near the coast, I mean, the way Cape Coral works is we have a big river. We have the Caloosahatchee River, which empties into a lot of canals in our area. Now, if the storm surge goes into the river, it's going to empty into the canals, and, you know, it's a trickle down effect. So I was just glad that didn't happen. So like I felt like I won the fucking lottery, to be honest with you. You know, I was so worried. I'm like, I'm going to have 3 feet of water in my house. And, you know, I have insurance and everything, but still, it's a hassle. Not everything's going to get covered. It would have been a life-changing event for me. And the sheer fact that I got through all that without having to worry about that, I can't remember the last time I was so happy, you know, and it kind of put a lot of things into perspective to me, you know, like, we're all alive. I've been bitching about not having internet, this and that, but like, those are so minuscule. That's an inconvenience. Like, so I was running on adrenaline and like just joy afterward. Like, I just went out, walked around, I saw no damage, and I was like, man, you know, thank somebody, I guess. You know, thank me. I don't even know what to say.
Whoever you want to thank, you can thank them. You can thank all of them. You know, I mean, like, it's insane.
Yeah. At this point, I think we should thank all of them to make sure we're okay, you know, like.
Oh, man. Let's get to the goofy part of this. If you look at your past week and the week leading up to it and everything like that, what film epitomizes what you went through in your emotional journey?
I actually was, you know, I think I mentioned this to you at some point earlier today, but like there's this old movie that I saw on HBO as a kid starring Anthony Edwards called Miracle Mile. It might have even been a made for HBO movie where he's a guy whose father works at a nuclear power plant. Actually, I don't even think his father works at a nuclear power plant. He's at home, I think, coming home from having gone out to a night of drinking, and he's picked up some girl that he doesn't know very well, or maybe, you know, they know each other casually. The point is they're not, like, dating or anything. He's at home with her, and his phone rings. He picks it up, and it's somebody who works at a nuclear power plant trying to reach their father, but they misdialed. And they tell the guy only has, like, a few seconds to get some information across, and he's like, listen, Dad, you got to get out of the city. The plant is going to melt down. There's going to be a nuclear disaster, and the state of California and, you know, pretty much the entire Western seaboard is going to get wiped out. And at first he thinks it's a joke, but then, you know, he starts to realize certain things, like power going out in certain areas. And then by the middle of the movie, it's like pretty much everybody is aware that there's a situation going. And so everyone's trying to get out of the city. Everyone's trying to find out where they can go for safety. And like, I just remember like the sort of intimacy that movie portrayed, and the fact that it focused on like everyday characters and not like other disaster movies, which usually focus on like The Rock, you know, like hanging, you know, one arm from a helicopter saving his family, which is great. You know, I love that stuff. But this movie really, you know, captured that sort of intimate, like man on the ground feeling for a huge disaster like that. And I remember thinking, man, what a great movie that was. Like Anthony Edwards is such a great everyman. What a great, you know, character, what a great actor to put in that role. And I'm actually going to try and see if I can find it somewhere and rewatch it to see if my memory and my, you know, anxiety and my adrenaline haven't hyped it up, or if it's as, you know, as intimate and as good as I remember. But I would say that movie, Miracle Mile, you can seek it out. I remember it being an HBO original.
Yeah, I'm going to go to iTunes like immediately after I get done editing this podcast and see if it's there. And that's probably going to be my Thursday night watch tonight. Manny, thank you so much for your time, and good luck with the cleanup in your area. I'm sure it's a hot mess right now. Good luck with the hobby shop and all that stuff. And I'll talk to you through the internet. Again, thank you so much for your time.
No, thanks, man. I'm just glad we all made it out all right, man.
On the line, we have movie critic for Monkeys Fighting Robots, Dewey Singleton. Dewey, welcome to the show.
Thank you. It's been quite a week.
Yes. Can you tell people where you live in the Florida area so we can get more of a more precise visual image?
I'm based out of Tampa, so I would say for about 85% of the pre-Irma fervor, we were under the impression that Tampa was going to get smacked in the ass, for lack of a better way to put it. It was the end of times. Even the mayor, Bob Buckhorn, referenced Mike Tyson pre-Irma, saying that this was our time to get hit in the mouth. So it was not a good couple of days. We'll just say that.
And I live in St. Pete. You don't live in like South Tampa. Like, are you like, where are you directly in Tampa? Are you like north of the airport, sort of? Is that where you are?
I'm north of the airport, but the problem with where I'm at is not that I'm in a flooding area, but there's a lot of trees. There's a ton of trees. I mean, if you come to my neighborhood, the first thing you're going to go is, oh, crap, there's a lot of trees. And with Dennis Phillips, who's a local meteorologist here, Paul Delgado, Steve Jervy, basically every weather person under the sun that all of us were, like, basically watching around the clock, predicting winds in excess of 120 miles an hour, mass destruction seemed imminent, and I could just only imagine what was I going to do if one of these trees near our house was going to cave in, because we weren't going anywhere. We didn't have, you know, an option to go somewhere else because our option out of town was sort of in the same path as Irma. So we were damned if we did and damned if we didn't. And my mother lives in Polk County, and they were in the wrath of Irma as well. So are we going to stay or are we going to go somewhere else, which, you know, in the end ended up getting it hit harder than we actually got hit.
And that's one of the biggest things that I don't think people understand with the storm, because I was watching it forever, and we had an escape route to Athens, Georgia. But earlier in the week, Athens, Georgia was going to get hit with a Category 1 hurricane, and then we were looking at Mobile, Alabama as an escape route, and then the storm was drifting that way. And wherever you, because of the location and the setup of Florida, you had to drive at least 15 hours to not get affected by this storm. And that's kind of hard to do. I mean, we have pets, and trying to find a hotel that's pet friendly or family friendly or just getting it to where you want to go. And then this thing took forever. I mean, I put a notice on the website on Thursday of last week, and now it's Thursday this week, where I'm finally back to work just because of getting things together. I mean, how draining was this storm? Because I feel like it's been going on for like 2 weeks.
That's extremely draining, and I think there's a heightened sense of nervousness and fear when you have, you know, pets and when you have kids, and I have two, and you have kids as well, and it's just this whole thing, and you don't know what the right decision is, and you know there was this thought process where, you know, okay, well, we're not going to go to Pensacola, which is where my wife's family is from, but we could go to North Carolina. And then at the very moment we come to that conclusion, there's a news story talking about how 75 is experiencing traffic. They're experiencing gas shortages. There were literally people on I-75 breaking down because they ran out of gas. There are people that you and I deal with on a daily basis because of movie critic business that we take care of, who are stuck at this very moment in Georgia because they don't have enough gas options to get them back home right now, and they probably won't until Saturday or Sunday. So it was really the perfect, I hate to be cliche, but it was the perfect storm of, you just didn't know what to do. I mean, you were very lucky to have Athens. I wish I could have had an Athens exit or a Mobile exit. But at this rate, we just had to kind of pray for the best.
And my wife was freaking out as we were driving out Sunday morning because she thought we were going to break down on the side of the road. You mentioned that. On Thursday, when I looked at the map and we were trying to plan out like escape routes, Google Maps had from West Palm Beach all the way up to Atlanta was bright red. Like, it was just a parking lot trying to get out of the state. And then you mentioned the gas shortage. So you pack up your car with your family and your pets and everything like that, and then you're like, okay, I need to get to Georgia, but my car can only go 350 miles. That's not going to get me to Georgia. And as we were driving out, I was like, okay, Margo, you know, look for shelters in Ocala. You know, because just in case we can't find gas, I'm thinking we have enough gas in our car to get to Ocala, which is at least out of the immediate war path of Irma, and then we'll get into a shelter, and then we'll let it pass, and then we'll come back home. I mean, like, that's what I was thinking in my head. And now you're going through every, like, Mad Max, every fucking zombie apocalypse scenario possible when you're trying to, like, escape with your family. It was insane. So let's go back. So let's go to Sunday. Sunday, the storm is imminent. It's coming. What was that feeling in your household? And walk through, like, the storm, because the storm also hit in the middle of the night, which makes it even scarier.
We ended up taking the kids and putting them out in the living room because we were basically frightened about what would happen. And up until about the 11th hour, I couldn't find plywood. I could not find plywood. I got up on Sunday at 5 in the morning to find plywood because I probably should have done it sooner, whatever. I mean, you can do if and buts or candy and nuts, but I just couldn't find plywood. And then a neighbor came by and offered free plywood and boarded up my youngest son's room. So that at least made us feel somewhat safe. So we're in the room, and we're basically camping out, watching Dennis Phillips. And every hour, every minute of every hour, it seemed like the track was it was like a ping pong. It was like, okay, now it's here, now it's there, now it's coming for Pinellas. And it, you know, so as I see the track in my mind, I'm thinking about, you know, all the people I know in those areas. You know, it goes to Pinellas. I'm thinking, oh crap, that's Matt's area. I'm thinking if it's jogging more towards the right, I'm thinking, oh man, that's Manny and Ruben. That's all our friends at Allied and I mean, it was just nerve wracking. It was absolutely nerve wracking. And in my situation, which was, I guess, a little different, I have a kid, a 5-year-old with special needs, and that made it even a little more trickier because I'm trying to tell him, he has autism, you know, what the storm is about. My wife's, you know, printed off a thing online, and, you know, he understands what's going on, but as we're going through the storm, we're just waiting for the worst to hit, but as it kept going and as the winds got bigger and the rains grew and the trees were swaying, we never lost power. We never really lost anything. It just this kept getting scarier and scarier. And I think what was scary was the fear of the unknown, the fear of what could happen, not what did happen, because we didn't know what was outside our house, because we did the best we could to secure our windows, even though we didn't have nearly enough plywood. And we just, you know, we envisioned the worst. We thought we were going to lose one of our vehicles. The fear is just an amazing thing. It can just absolutely capture you, especially when you have that feeling of helplessness that we had during the height of the storm. And the funny thing about it is that we weren't the ones who got it nearly as bad as the people in South Tampa. I mean, South Florida. I can't imagine what they were going through. I can't imagine what that was like. And I can't imagine if Tampa had gotten a Category 3 or a 4 like they were talking. It would be just a complete rebuild. So that's how it was for us.
And I don't know if people, if you haven't gone through this before, once you board up your windows, because we boarded, my house is a newer house, so I had all the hurricane shutters available to me, but I put them all up. But once you put those hurricane shutters up, your house becomes super claustrophobic. Like, the fear factors that build in, once you shell in your house and you're like, okay, I can't see what's outside, like, your brain just starts going crazy.
Because you have visions of, like, various things falling and breaking. And we had a shed in the back. And, you know, this shed was probably built in, like, 1969. It's this old, old shed. It's on its last legs. I had visions of it, like, ripping apart and my lawnmower going. I mean, you have all these scenarios. And inexplicably, I don't know how it stayed up, but it stayed up. This back porch that we have that's older than old, it's stayed up. I mean, we're so, you know, blessed to have gotten through what we got through. And, you know, to be able to even talk about it today with you is just, you know, just shows how lucky we are. There are people in South Florida that still have nothing. I mean, they still have no electricity, no phone service, Wi-Fi, the food shortages. it's really bad still, and it's days after the event.
No, when we were heading up north to Athens, and we were on 75, and there was only a few people on 75, heading into the storm, I saw thousands of FEMA trucks and military trucks heading south. And when I saw that for like miles and miles of trucks heading south, I was like, I feel like I made the right decision. You know, when the emergency crews are going the other opposite direction that you're going in, I'm like, you know, my wife's like, we made a bad decision. I was like, no. We're doing okay. We're getting out of the storm. It's fine. Cause again, you don't know what's going to hit you. And then once you have, you're all shutted in, it's like kind of getting, when you brace for the impact, you sometimes do better than when you're like, you don't even know it's coming kind of thing. I don't know. It's weird. It's such a crazy thing. And you mentioned, you know, there are people in South Florida right now that have no home to go to. The food shortages are insane. In St. Pete alone, like Winn-Dixie's and Publix's are closed. About half the people in our neighborhood have no power, and you can hear the generators just humming in the neighborhood, which is such a weird sound. So let's transition to Monday. The storm has passed and your house is in one piece. What was it like going outside? What was that feeling of your family and just making it through the storm?
Elation, joy, but also, you know, there's also some sadness because if we look at our things, right, and we look at us making through the storm. You know, we had no idea we were going to make it out as well as we did. We thought we were going to lose a lot. And to see that it was only tree damage, you know, my truck took a limb. It's fine. It works. But then you look across the street where I'm at and north of the airport, and you see that, like, you know, this one house, like, the siding is all ripped off. And then you drive around, and you see that a tree had caved into somebody's doorway, and you see that parts of people's roofs are damaged. And then you say, well, that could have been me. You know, we got really, really lucky. We were the exception to the rule. And then, you know, just there was also the sense of, I guess I can't think of a better way to say it than attaboy to our community where we live, because I saw a lot of people who don't normally interact, don't normally even talk, helping each other out, helping to put fences up, helping to, you know, cut branches, things of that nature. People are just coming out of the woodwork to help. And, you know, and we live in such a divisive world. I mean, sometimes there is some good that comes out of tragedy, and it seems that Floridians are helping fellow Floridians in, you know, in many different ways. And there's a silver lining there. But in terms of how we felt, you know, a joy, but also there was some sadness because we saw there was destruction all around us, and we just were lucky.
No, I've never been proud of a neighborhood before, and the way that my neighborhood came together pre-storm and post-storm is so impressive. And we had like a Facebook message group where people were just being like, hey, I need this, or I need that, or can I have help with this? And I gave away basically every piece of scrap wood I had in my garage because people needed stuff to put on their doors. And I'm super impressed with our neighborhood. I've never been proud of a neighborhood before, and I'm proud of my neighborhood now. Like, I never want to leave it because I think I have great people around me that, like, when the shit hits the fan, you can actually count on people you've never freaking talked to before. In closing, Dewey, since this is a movie show, if you look back on the past week and you had to compare your experiences to a film, what film encapsulates your experience? Or multiple.
Oh, I got this. This is, I'll have to explain. Just let me explain. Twister. And I'll tell you why. There was, in Twister, the weather event was unpredictable. It was destructive and infected. It just ripped communities apart. It, you know, families were, you know, on edge. I just felt like I was in the movie Twister, and just the unpredictability, even with this storm at the very last moment, it jogged 20 miles to the right at like the 11th hour, which put Naples right at a direct hit. And if it, you know, it affected our buddies over on the East Coast more so than ever before. And, you know, I feel for them. You know, I'm grateful we didn't get a direct hit on it, but I my heart breaks for Naples and for the guys on the East Coast. But no, Twister definitely would be my answer.
Yeah, for me, it's 2012, like John Cusack in the limo. Because when we left at 8 o'clock in the morning, I was like, everybody get in the car, let's go. And I was like, we just have to make it across the Howard Franklin Bridge. In my head, making it across that bridge got us to safety.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah,
you was just, that's awesome. That's see, I knew you would come up with a better movie than me. Jesus, man.
Hi, Dewey. All our movie screens got canceled this week. I will see you next week. Take care, my friend, and good luck with all the repairs in the neighborhood.
You got it, boss. Later.
Calling in now is Ruben. Are you the movie critic or the movie crank? I'm not really sure who you are.
I always thought of myself in life as Guinan from Star Trek The Next Generation. I just kind of like, I just have my weird role in life where nobody can really explain what I am. Yeah, what the hell was Guinan on Star Trek? Who knows? She just appeared an episode here, an episode there, said some wise thing like Yoda and then gone for another season. You know, I was like, okay.
And Ruben Diaz, he is based in Miami. And you didn't get hit with the eye of the storm, but you also bailed on Irma to higher ground. Where did you end up going?
Yeah, I live on a high rise on the bay by near South Beach, for those who know where that is.
Wait, do you hang out at South Beach? Are you a South Beach kind of guy?
No, absolutely not. I don't cross that bridge. Except the nearest movie theater to me is actually across the bridge.
Hi, so you had to get out of the high rise.
Yeah, we were still in an evacuation zone, so we were told to evacuate. Some people stayed. I did not want to. I've experienced every hurricane in Miami since 1976, but never in a high rise. So I was like, I don't know if I want to know what swaying buildings feels like. So yeah, my in-laws live in Hialeah, so a little bit further west. And we stayed there, batting down the house, you know, all the good stuff, plywood and all that stuff. Lots of Vienna sausage cans ready for an emergency, you know. And, yeah, we didn't. It's weird because we didn't get the eye. It terrifies me to think what would happen if we had gotten the eye. But it was still the longest hurricane I've ever experienced, like, hands down.
Yeah, Miami didn't get hit with the eye, but I also saw footage of roofs getting peeled open like,
yeah,
sardines in Miami, which mm-hmm. is insane.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I went out early in the morning once it kind of settled a little bit, and there was a two houses down, a trailer was like a, you know, one of these like metal type roofs, and it was just flapping in the wind. Like, there was plenty of destruction, especially in Hialeah. A lot of trees got knocked over. Here near my apartment. I mean, we're hopefully able to save 30. I live across the street from a giant park that's right on the bay, so they're able to save 30-something trees there. There's going to be a community pickup Saturday to clean the park because it's just a complete mess. So, yeah, it's really, I mean, I can't imagine what would have happened if it had taken another course.
And Hialeah is not that far from your house, is it?
Relatively, no, maybe 10 miles, 15 miles or something. Not really. I mean, if it had come full straight ahead, I don't even think Hialeah would have been enough.
That's insane. Cause, where I live in St. Pete is, I call it Mount St. Petersburg cause we're 42 feet above sea level. Mm-hmm. What is Hialeah? Do you know what that is?
I mean, it can't be that much higher. I don't know the specific number, but it's definitely not that much higher than sea level. It's nowhere near 42 feet, I'm sure.
Was there storm surges over by you?
I mean, from what I heard, the area where I live essentially, I mean, for those who like basketball, I live near the AAA arena where the Heat play. So it's the downtown area of Miami on the south side of that. I live on the north side. So on the south side of that, from what I heard, there was water 4 or 5 feet high in the streets. Now, thankfully, Miami, that's a good thing. Miami is designed to kind of evacuate that water, both naturally and by civil engineers. So the next day, the water was gone, but it piled up quick.
So let's talk then, about... Continue, my friend.
No, I was just going to say, the Coral Gables, I think, also got a lot of flooding. Hialeah wasn't going to be too bad with the flooding, but the houses are old and have been through a lot of storms. You know, my in-law's house, we lost tiles on the roof, so who knows. But thankfully, no more damage than that.
And let's talk about this storm. Like you said, this is the slowest moving storm ever. So last week, what was going on? What was the emotions going on with you building up to leaving your apartment?
Well, it was hectic because, as you know, I'm a writer, so I was working on a project. I had a deadline. You know, the storm, it was still a week to the storm, but it was just getting, like, on a psychological level, you know, you were around for Andrew too. So it was like reminding me of that, you know, and so it's just like, man, I don't want to go through that again. Even though through Andrew again, I fortunately lived in an area that didn't get affected too badly, but it was still not fun. But this was Andrew times two.
Yeah.
Even though it didn't hit directly, you know, it hit less directly than when back then, but it was like getting that bad edge, you know. They tell you on the news that there's that the dirty side of a hurricane, and it was basically getting that dirty side for 24 hours. I felt like 24, 26 hours nonstop. It was just psychologically draining.
Yeah, people don't realize this, but the storm went onto the West Coast, but Jacksonville and Savannah, Georgia, up in there, got destroyed by the storm surge because that's the dirty side of the hurricane,
right.
Was nasty,
right.
And this thing was so massive. So you got the evacuation notice. What did that feel like to get an evacuation notice?
It's weird. You know, again, I've never been in a high rise, so I've never been in an area where I had to evacuate either. So for that matter, now that I think about it. But yeah, it was weird. I mean, it's like, you know, what do I take with me? I mean, I have a cat and a dog. My cat is 17 years old and does not like to be moved. So he's, you know, and then, you know, I was evacuating to my in-laws' house where they have a dog and birds, and it was a zoo in there with fish. And it was crazy because it's like, you know, you take everything off the balconies, obviously, and you lock the sliding glass doors to my balconies that they're made of an impact whatever window, and then like, you know, fortunately I don't have a lot of crap. I'm not like a hoarder type person. It's just like put everything in the safest place in case something does happen, and then just go.
And you're married, though. I mean, right? You're married.
Right. Yeah.
So I mean, that was some of the biggest issues I had was with my wife when I was like, I woke up Sunday morning. I was like, it's coming towards our house. We're leaving now, and like. All that conversation, I was like, no more conversations. We're packing up and we are getting out of here. And I just went into like John Cusack 2012 driving a limo mode. And I was like, we're getting out now. So was it tough being in a relationship during this kind of thing?
Well, it's complicated only in the sense that my wife works for Royal Caribbean Cruise Lines and in the public relations and communications. So she was heavily involved in all their efforts to get water to people. And so she was constantly at work. And then I had my deadline. So the toughest part was, you know, I have, you know, her mom and her brother live in Hialeah. And then my mom and my brother live in Doral or near Doral. And so I couldn't help either one do a lot of the prep work. So it was like, that was kind of the crazy part, that she was working to the last minute to help other people. And so, but as far as evacuating, no. I mean, we knew we were going to go to Hialeah. You know, I love my mom to death, but I don't trust her house, and I tried to convince her to come to Hialeah too. So, you know, my wife's father passed away, he worked in the roofing industry, and he was like one of these old school dudes who could just build stuff all the time, like out of thin air. And so I trust his house, you know, like that house is built like a tank. It was like, I'm going down there. So thankfully nothing happened to my mom's house. Either my mom was fine. They have no power. Actually, they still don't have power to this day.
Yeah, there's a lot of people in St. Pete without power. Like 50% of the people in St. Pete still don't have power. And
wild.
I walked around the neighborhood, and it, again, new experiences I've never experienced before is just walking block to block, just constantly hearing the hum of the generators going.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a strange cinematic element, you know, that I was like thinking, like every time I break things down, I was like, oh man, this is like worse. And then I was like, so this is like, I was talking with Manny. He's like, this is season one of The Walking Dead is what we're going through right now. Season one, right. Where we're just like all prepping and shit just hit the fan and everything. So talk about when the storm's hitting, like what's going on with like your family, the animals. How do the animals handle the storm?
Well, it's funny because I have a 2-year-old dog, and we live in a high rise. And if it's storming outside, if there's any thunder, he's terrified. But if we're at the dog park and there's thunder, he's fine. So I was curious to see what his reaction was going to be when we're trapped in a house during a storm, you know? So, and he was fine. All the animals were pretty much like just doing their thing, you know, and they didn't really react to it. It was funny. Yeah. And then the next day when we finally go outside, they run out into the backyard like, all right, party time. You know, they start playing like, it's all good. It's amazing. It's kind of something to envy a little bit.
I know. My kid's like almost 2 years old, and we were stuck driving for 20 hours, 10 hours there, 10 hours back. And like my kid was better behaved than my wife and I. Like, I feel like we cried more than she did. I mean, it was just, it's weird.
I know you're the interviewer, but, what was that like, the driving? Because I know a few people who drove. Like, I know a guy when the storm seemed like it was coming to Miami, and he lived in Broward, and Broward got hit worse even than Dade. He drove to Tampa to his family's house because he thought, oh, it's better. It'll be better in Tampa. And then halfway through the drive, finds out, oh, no, it's going around the edge of Florida, and it's not going to be better in Tampa. So he was kind of like driving the whole time, like, what were the roads like? It must have been
eerie,
you know.
It was definitely eerie, but that was the biggest problem with this storm is the tracking of it, because Irma was going like 7 to 10 miles an hour. So every 2-3 hours when the update went out, it only moved, you know, 30 miles. It didn't go anywhere, really. So right. Predicting where it was going, because we originally were going to go to Athens, Georgia. We had an out to Athens. But then it looked like they were going to get hit with a Category 1 storm, and then it shifted, and I was like, hey, we're going to go to Mobile, Alabama, and then it was heading that way, and then you had the gas shortages, and on Thursday, I looked at Google Maps, and it was solid red from West Palm Beach to Atlanta, Georgia, and it was taking people 20 hours to get to Georgia, and I was like, I don't want to get stuck on that. So I woke up Sunday morning when I saw that the dot was directly going over our house at a Category 3, and I think there was one model where it was like, we're making landfall first on Matt's house. Like, that's exactly what it said on the map. And I was like, I immediately went to Google Maps. I saw everything was green, and then I went to Gas Buddy, and I was like, okay, what's 2 hours outside of Tampa? What's, you know, right on the Atlanta, you know, Georgia border? So I found two gas stations that would have gotten us up there. And I was like, 7:30 more. I was like, we are leaving now. We are leaving at 8 o'clock. And it's like, everybody grab their shit, blah, blah. And my wife's like, we're going to die. We can't leave. Like, you know, we're going to get stuck on the road. And the radio was like giving all the warning information for all the counties south of us. And they were yelling like, if you are on the road now, you need to get to a shelter immediately. And it was just coming. And my wife's like, they're telling us to get into a shelter now. And I was like, Margo, we have time. It hasn't made landfall yet. Like, it's like they're telling everybody below to get into a shelter because it's going to hit them right now. And then they were also telling all the counties above us to get off the roads. And Margo's like, they're telling us to get off the roads. And I was like, they're clearing the roads so that people from Pinellas County can get off the peninsula and get out of the way of the storm. And it was just so traumatic. Like, I'm telling you, like, there was a solid 2 hours where I was like, I'm John Cusack from 2012, and I'm driving this limo out of L.A. I'm like, I'm because there's a super long bridge called the Howard Franklin Bridge. And in my head, I was like, we just have to get across this bridge into Tampa and we will be safe. Like being stuck in being stuck in St. Pete on the peninsula, and because they eventually closed the bridges to get out. And I was like, we have to get out. Once we're out, we can like go find a shelter that won't get hit with a Category 3 hurricane. And again, it's just it's bizarre how the brain just builds up, you know, fear and over. I don't know if we overimagine anything because I mean, you saw, you know, it. The once that stupid storm hit land, it just started zigzagging. Like it probably could have circled back and hit Miami. Yeah. Like it was so stupid what this storm did.
Right.
Oh man, what was your
that point where like it was stopped over Cuba, somewhere in between Havana and like Matanzas, and it was like just stop. It seemed like it just stopped. Like it was just like, go somewhere, just choose your path, let's go already. It was crazy. I've never seen, you know, it slowed down to like 6 miles an hour or something. I was like, there's no way, man, this is just never gonna end.
Yeah, because
I thought maybe this is how the Great Red Spot on Jupiter formed, and this is our first Great Red Spot. And I'm like, we're screwed now, like this hurricane's never gonna end.
Oh man, how would you describe your full week of Irma in movie form? What movie would encompass your week of drama?
Man, it made me think of that. I think it was a John Cusack movie, Identity. Do you remember that one? It's like a bunch of people stuck in a hotel, I think. In a storm, you know, and it's like the same guy's personality. I forget exactly how the story played out. But it kind of always reminds me of that because you know, depending on who you're spending it with, you learn more. You know, you learn more about the true nature of somebody in these kind of situations. And it's just like, it's just crazy because you're sitting there and you have nothing to do but play board games, you know, or, you know. So that's kind of that. It reminded me of a little bit of Pontypool, too. I don't know if you know that movie. It's like a zombie movie, but it's about a guy in a radio station.
Okay.
I can't remember the actor's name. He looks like Lance Henriksen, but it's not Lance Henriksen. But he looks kind of like him. And basically, it's like a zombie invasion is going on outside, or like a zombie apocalypse or whatever. You never really see a zombie in the movie. And it's just this guy on the radio talking people through it, because I just remember listening when the power went out, and then you turn on the radio, and you're just listening to the radio, and listening to the radio, and listening to the radio. And there's like, and then again, it stopped. The thing was like turtle speed, and I was like, what is going on? And so Pontypool gives you that kind of what is going on kind of feeling too.
Yeah, it's bizarre. I mean, because I look at everything through like a filmmaker's lens, and they're just moments where I just take snapshots in my brain. And so I had my brother and his wife at our house, and my dad, my mom flew out of town because she had a trip already planned. So we had 5 dogs and 2 cats in my house.
Oh my God.
And then like my little kid and my wife. And so I make the decision to that we're leaving. And I go, my brother is, you know, in one of our rooms sleeping. And I go in there. I was like, hey, Mike, we're getting out of here now. We're going. He's like, Christina's in the hospital. And I was like, when the fuck did that happen? And she got a kidney stone like in the middle of the night and they took her to the hospital. So then my brother has to decide whether he's leaving his wife in the hospital or if he's going. And so he calls the hospital and the hospital says, you know, we're not going to discharge her. She'll ride the storm out here. And we're like, okay. A hospital is a better place to ride out a storm than, you know, any other traditional place. So he starts driving with us, and we get about 45 minutes. We get past the Howard Franklin Bridge. You know, we're driving. I get 45 minutes. I get a call from my brother. He goes, they're releasing Christina from the hospital. And we're like, well, what do you, I was like, I know you're heading back. And I was like, so we get off at a rest area, and I give him my keys to the house because he's got to go back and get stuff and get her. And I was like, dude, you just need to go to a shelter. Just go to get over there, get her, get to a shelter, and just, you know, stay there and then go from there. And he's like, no, I'm going to get across the bridge. And I was like, oh, man. And he, like, goes to my dad, and my dad, because we're driving 3 separate vehicles, he goes, I love you, Dad, and he gives him a hug in the rain. And I was just like, I've seen this in a movie before. I was like, I was like, I don't know how this is going to end, but I was like, this moment has been in a disaster movie before. I was like, shit. Oh man, but everybody made it safe. Everybody got to where they needed to go. I know that not everybody made it to a safe place in Florida, and a lot of people are without power. There's a lot of people without food, And the hotter it gets without electricity, the angrier it's going to get. So this is going to be some drama for a lot longer. And I'm hoping that we get things together. But Ruben, thank you for sharing your experience with me.
Absolutely. Nice talking to you.
Thank you for taking the time to listen to this podcast. If you liked it, please share it through the social media platforms. That'd be awesome. We also would like if you gave us a review on iTunes. That'd be pretty awesome. And there's multiple ways for you to follow us on Monkeys Fighting Robots. You can follow us on Twitter. You can follow us on Facebook. You can follow me on Twitter. Again, I know that there are a lot of people out there that still don't have power, that are still going through a tough situation. Probably some people don't even have a house. So if you see any reputable way to donate or help out for Hurricane Irma relief, that would be huge. Again, thank you for listening. I'm Matt Sardo, and we will be back to normal, hopefully, next week for the movie show. I'll have some movie reviews for you. Again, I'm so glad that if you are in Florida, you are doing okay, and you made it through. Same thing with the people in Houston. Take care. Love you all. Out.